Father, as we come this evening into your presence, as we come, Lord, before your throne, as we come boldly into this place of grace that you have for us, we find ourselves blessed. Thank you for ministering to us through worship. And now, Father, just speak to us through your word, that you would knit us to your heart, give us a true understanding of just the concept, this beautiful principle of being crucified with you, Jesus. The life that we live, we now live in you, that you live through us. This life we live by faith. So grant us an understanding, Lord, through your grace, through your spirit, just what it is that you need us to grow in our walks, what you need to adapt, Lord, through our journey, Lord, in this world with you, that we can bring you glory, that we can bring you honor, that we can bring you praise. So knit our hearts to this passage. We ask it in Jesus' name, and all the saints of God said, amen. All right, saints, if you would, please open your Bibles to Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. This is our text for tonight. And so as we find ourselves here, keep in mind that what we've been looking at is this. As we've been going through the book of Galatians, that first chapter all dealt with just that authority that Paul was declaring of himself, that he, you know, was received the apostleship not by from man, but by God. He received this gospel not by man, but by God. And so with this gospel that he had, there were these Judaizers who came and said, listen, it isn't about coming to the Lord Jesus Christ and having salvation through faith alone, but it is through faith, it is through circumcision, it is through keeping the laws of Moses. So it was faith plus, it was Jesus and. And so because of this, they were putting this burden upon the Gentile believers, even so much that they were beginning to question their own spirituality. And so Paul would go and he would take a journey to the church there in Jerusalem. He would speak to the leadership. He would share with them the gospel that he was proclaiming. And they say, yeah, that's the same gospel that we're proclaiming. I said, all right, well, let's tell the people that, because these Judaizers, these people who are the legalists, they're adding to this gospel. And so they wrote that letter there in Acts 15, and we've gone through that portion. But here was the issue. What happened was in Galatians chapter 2, verse 11, it opened up when Peter had come to Antioch. Paul said, I withstood him to his face because he was to be blamed. For before, verse 12, certain men came from James, he would eat with the Gentiles. But when they came, he withdrew and he separated himself, fearing those who were of the circumcision. And the rest of the Jews also played the hypocrite with him, so that even Barnabas was carried away with their hypocrisy. But when I saw that they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter before them all. Now note this. I'm going to pause here for just a second. I said to Peter before them all, and what you should see in your Bible is this, quotation marks. Paul is beginning to speak. And as he speaks, he says these words. Now the end of quotation doesn't end till the after verse 21. So this is the same message that he gave to everyone. We've been breaking it down week by week. So what we're doing is we're taking this and we're looking at it in depth, but understand this is one message. So he says to Peter before them all in verse 14, this is what he said. If you being a Jew live in the manner of Gentiles and not as Jews, why do you compel the Gentiles to live as Jews? We who are Jews by nature are not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Christ Jesus that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law no flesh shall be justified. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves are also found sinners, is Christ therefore a minister of sin? Certainly not. For if I build again on those things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. Verse 19, for I through the law died to the law, that I might live to God. And then he says these words in verse 20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So as we begin to see this, he makes this beautiful statement, I have been crucified with Christ. Now, for those of you that know me, if you've seen my Bible, there on the back of my Bible, I have this big Galatians 2:20. This has been, in a sense, my life's verse. It is a verse that I just hold on to. It has everything to do with Christ. It has to do with the power of my walk. It has to do with the direction of my walk. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And this life that I now live in the flesh, he says, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So three things that we want to look at here is we want to see first and foremost the reality of our union with Christ in his death. I have been crucified with Christ. And then we want to look at the reality of our union with Christ and you know, with Christ dwelling indwelling our life. And so we begin to see, I've been crucified with Christ. Now it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And then, of course, the reality of our life that we live by faith. And so he says here, now the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. And of course, he who loved me and gave himself for me. So those are the three things we're going to be looking at tonight. We're looking at the reality of our union with Jesus Christ in his death. We're looking at the reality of our union with Jesus Christ indwelling our lives, and then the reality of our life that we live by faith. These three things are brought out so clearly here in this passage, and I think it's important that to understand why it is that Paul is sharing this truth when it comes to talking to Peter. Now, remember what Peter had done. He used to eat with the Gentiles, but of course, when verse 12, those certain men came from James, he left that. He left the Gentiles. And now, all of a sudden, what we begin to see is this, that Peter has not changed the gospel through what he says. But what he has done is this. He has distorted the truth of the gospel by what he's done. The Gentiles that he used to partake with and be with, now he's left them, gone over to the Jews, these Judaizers, these legalists. And so now the Gentiles are thinking, well, okay, what am I lacking? Why is it that now there is this, not this unity in Christ, there's not the unity in the church, but there's this us and there's this them. That we seem to be lesser. They actually, like the Jews, were sitting in judgment that we're not good enough to sit with them. And what is it that we're lacking? Of course, because they were Jews, what were they lacking? The circumcision, keeping the laws, all those things these Jews had done. They kept the feast, they kept the festivals, they kept the rules and regulations, all these things they had done. And what we see is this, that the Gentiles are now questioning, well, is it true then? If there's an us and a them, and we're not them, then what is it that we're missing? Why can't we be a part? Why can't they be a part of us? And so because of this distortion of the gospel, Paul recognizing what's going on here in the church as there's this perceived division, that he now makes a correction. And within this correction, he makes a point that says, okay, listen, you're changing up everything. You used to fellowship with the Gentiles. Now these people came from James. You're not. So what's going on? And he talked about in verse 16, knowing that what man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. That our right standing with God, this legal term of justification, just as if we've never sinned, the fact that God sees us as righteous, and we've looked at this a few weeks ago, this point of justification, this legal term, is something that all have. And all have it not because of the work of any law, not because of the work of circumcision. It's simply by faith in Jesus Christ. Now, he looks at this term of justification, and he brings out two areas that people may not understand. The one area that they look at is this. Don't use justification, this position with God, as a license to sin. Where he says this, verse 17, if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves are found sinners, is Christ therefore a minister of sin? Certainly not. For if I build again on those things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. So in other words, this justification is not a license to move into sin. That's not why we do it. We're not free to sin. But what happens is this, what justification does do is it allows us to have a changed life. And the changed life in verse 19, he says, for I through the law died to the law that I might live to God. That the changed life is not so that I can go back into sin. It's not so that I can go back into legalism. Do you understand? It's not. And so we have those two paths that we take. Some want to go back into just the flesh, and some want to go back into a part of the flesh called pride, where if I do all these things, look at me, I'm the us and you're the them. And so you're lesser than me, and I can sit in spiritual judgment to you. But keep in mind that all that has been wiped out, both the wrongs and the legalism, both the things that I failed and the things that I will accomplish. Why? Because he makes a statement in verse 20 where we begin to see here this union that we have with Christ, this union with his death, the indwelling of our lives by faith. We begin to see here, he says, I have been crucified with Christ. Do you understand? He says, I'm dead. When Christ died physically, we who are in Christ, who've received Christ, that all of a sudden we begin to see what? That now we're in him. There's a passage I want you to be aware of so that you can kind of grasp the truth of what it is that we're dealing with. When Paul had received the vision after Cornelius was, you know, visited by the angel, said, I want you to go get Paul. Paul was coming in, or Peter. Peter was coming in to speak to Cornelius and to his family. And here's the key to what we begin to see that Peter understood, or he should have understood. That there in Acts chapter 10, beginning in verse 43, and I only want to read verse 43 and verse 44. You guys know the rest of the passage. We've been looking at this last couple of weeks. But when Peter comes to Cornelius, he begins to preach about Jesus Christ. And so where he talked about in verse 36, the words which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is the Lord of all. And so he's now speaking, this is how you have salvation in the Lord. And he says this in verse 43, to him, this is to Jesus Christ and his work, all the prophets witnessed that through his name, through the name of Jesus Christ, and then he says this at the end of verse 43, whoever believes in him will have remission of sins. Do you understand? He doesn't say whoever believes and is circumcised. He doesn't say whoever believes and is going to keep the law or keep the ceremony. He doesn't do that. As he makes a statement, he says, whoever believes in him will have remission of sins. Now understand, and verse 44 is key to this now, because while he was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word, and those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, and as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out upon the Gentiles, for they heard them speak with the tongues and magnify God. Now, keep in mind that Peter is speaking, and just before, in case he was going to say something more, do you understand? At verse 43, when it says, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sin, stop there. Don't add anything else. And this is what happens, that the God so wanted a period here. He so wanted the stop in Peter, don't get carried away with your message. Stop right there. Whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. Boom, the Gentiles speak in tongues. They literally receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit falls upon those who are hearing the word, not because they were baptized, not because they were circumcised, not because they kept any of the laws, but because what? When Paul talked about Jesus Christ and he says that, listen, whoever believes in him, they're like, we believe, boom, the Holy Spirit comes. So this is key to understanding what it is that Paul is declaring. It's about believing in Jesus Christ. Now, this is the beautiful thing about recognizing that this justification does not lead us into sin. Either the sin of going into our flesh through compromise, or the sin of just building up our flesh and pride through legalism. Because what happens is this, in verse 20, when he says, I have been crucified with Christ, understand this spiritual reality. The spiritual reality is when Jesus Christ was on the cross, those who put their faith in Jesus Christ and his work are now united with him in death. This is what God sees. When you put your faith in him, God himself sees you and spiritually allows you to be in him. You're united together with him, together in death. And so I have been crucified with Christ. And so as we recognize, what does it mean to be crucified with Christ? There's a passage in Romans chapter 6. And I want to take us there because in the first 7 verses of Romans 6, it makes this statement, then what shall we say? Shall we continue to sin? The grace may abound. Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Now, of course, the question comes in, we've died to sin. So if you've died to sin, then why are you going back to live in sin? Do you understand? Whether it's the sin of giving yourself over to the flesh or the sin of giving yourself over to legalism, thinking that doing certain things adds to your righteousness. Now he says this in verse 3, do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? When you come and you accept Jesus Christ and we realize, yes, Lord, this is where I've now accepted you. We now come in this position. We take by faith. And so as we come here, we see, listen, if you were baptized with him through the baptism into death, and just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in the newness of life. For if we have been, notice verse 5, if we have been united together in the likeness of his death. So keep in mind, this is exactly what happens, that we're united together with him in death. Verse 5, if we have been united together with him in the likeness of death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, our old man was crucified with him. Once again, he makes it pretty clear. Our old man, the old me, was crucified. The old me was dead. We understand that if anyone was in Christ, he's a new creation. Behold, all things have passed away. You know, all things have become new. And so as the old things pass away, all things are becoming new. We see here, knowing this, our old man was crucified with him that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. So keep in mind that what we see is this. It's an amazing thing that so often we say, well, do we still have urges to sin? Yeah, I think we do. Every so often our flesh gets the best of us, but all we have to say is this, I've been crucified with Christ. Do you understand? I'm dead to this and I'm dead to sin. I don't need to yield to that temptation anymore. Because we're Galatians says, yet not I. It's not my strength that enables me, it's his strength that does. Because when I say that I have been crucified with Christ, keep in mind that this means this, that have you ever saw a courtroom? And what happens is this, is they bring someone who is, you know, declared, you know, are you guilty? Are you innocent? But they bring you into the courtroom. The one thing that I've never seen, and I don't believe it's ever happened, is someone brings a cadaver into the courtroom. They bring in a casket, they roll it in, and they say, listen here, this man, Grisha, what he has done is he has sinned. He's guilty of death, and so they then try him. And so, but they've never done that. Why? Because if you're dead, you're no longer held accountable to the law. Because why? You're dead. The law has no hold on you anymore. Do you understand that they don't bring in cadavers and try to, you know, post unanimously, you say, you're guilty because you're dead to the law now. The law no longer has a hold on you. So keep in mind that when you're dead, you can't be judged for past crimes because the old man has been crucified. Do you understand? There's a new man that's coming, but the old man is crucified. The old man that was crucified and all of his wrongs, all of the issues that he has is now dead. Now keep in mind that not only are all the negative things done, not only are we recognize that the things that I've botched are dead, but so are all my accomplishments. Do you recognize? I don't even bring my accomplishments. What? Because the old man had some failures, but the old man had some successes too. But I can't take either of them forward. Why? Because I have been crucified with Christ. The old man, according to this, Romans 6:6, knowing this, our old man was crucified with him. That body of sin, even the body of accomplishments, might be done away with. And so we begin to see here, it's so important that we can't bring anything forward, because the old man, everything that I've ever done is what? It's dead. And sort of like what Job says, you know, in chapter 121, where he says what? When naked I came into this world, and naked I'll return. That I brought nothing in and I can take nothing with me. And so we begin to recognize that this is what happens. So the entirety of my old life now is what? It's exchanged for a new one. Do you understand that I have been crucified with Christ? It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And this is what we see. My old life is now exchanged. All of the wrongs, all of the rights, everything that I've ever done. So keep in mind that now when I come to God, I don't come through the old man. I come through the new man of faith. And what is this new man? How does it come? I've been justified. And so we have this beautiful statement of God that we're justified. So we don't bring in any more sin. Why? Because that's dead. I don't bring any more good. Why? Because that's dead. And so all I do is this. I give myself completely over to Jesus Christ. And this is where it is. I think it's so important where we recognize that if I've been crucified with Christ, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old things, well, it's passed away. It's done away with. Old things are done away, both positive and negative. And so what? The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I have this new relationship with God. The new relationship is this, that the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith. Do you understand? It's now a life not of rules and regulations, but now it's a life of faith. It's a whole different nature. It's a whole different principle. It's a whole different thing that I begin to hold on to now. No longer is it a life of works, rights, and wrongs, but now it's a life of what? It's you're going to give me your spirit. As you give me your spirit, guess what? I'm going to walk in these truths. I'm going to walk in these things. And so we recognize that within the grace of God, this is what we begin to do. This is what we begin to see. There's a passage in Galatians 5. Jot it down. I want to read to you verses 24 and 25. But in Galatians 5, beginning verse 24, it says this, "And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." So you understand that we no longer live in the passions. We no longer live in doing the things of our flesh, but now we begin to do what? We begin to live in the Spirit. And it's such a beautiful thing that what we see is this, the work of God and how he begins to move, how he begins to minister. He shows us this grace. He shows us this ministry. And within this ministry that he begins to walk us through, we realize this beautiful truth. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, you know that passage. He says, "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit?" Do you understand? It's now him who does this. Your body's a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own, for you were bought with a price. Do you understand that I'm now crucified? The old man is dead. This new me is what? It's purchased. I've been purchased and made new because of what Jesus Christ has done on the cross. I have been crucified with Christ. And in the same way as we begin to see that, yes, I recognize that if I've been united together in the likeness of his death, then what? I'll also be united with him in the likeness of his resurrection, of the new life that he now lives. And so as we look to this, I think it's important to recognize just what this issue is of seeing the reality of being crucified with Christ. That I have this incredible, beautiful, new life that I now live before God. The old is dead. The old is passed away. Nothing comes with me. And everything is brand new. And the brand new is justified. The brand new is I've never sinned. The brand new is now I have the Holy Spirit in me. And the Spirit now guides me through what? Letting Christ live his life through me. And it's now a life of the Spirit. It's now a life of faith. And keep in mind that if it's a life of a spirit, what? It's not the life of the law anymore. Because with the Spirit, we understand what the law itself, it was glorious when Moses got it. But the law of the Spirit is even more glorious. Because the law that Moses was what? It was the law of death. It was the law of just accusations and condemnation. But the law of the Spirit is what? It's life and liberty. If you're in the Spirit, he who the Lord sets free is what? He's free indeed. And you can now live this life. And so if you've been freed from the bondage of sin because you've been crucified, you're dead to sin, why do you want to live any longer in it? But the life that we do live, and I think this is so important that we notice first and foremost within this passage, I've been crucified with Christ. It's important to recognize the reality of just the union of me and Christ in this crucifixion, but it's also just as important to recognize the reality of our union with Christ in dwelling our lives. Now, as we look to this indwelling of our lives, keep in mind that, you know, one of the first things that will just jump to us is when it comes to Christians is what? John chapter 15, the whole thing of abiding. Verse 4 says, "Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me bears much fruit. For without me," he says, "you can do nothing." It's about knitting ourselves over to him. It's about giving ourselves over to an understanding of just what he has for us. As we look to the things that he has for us, we begin to see that all of a sudden, now that I'm in Christ, what happens? Well, that's where Paul in Romans 12 said, "What I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you simply present your bodies." Do you understand? It's not your life anymore. You present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Now, the word is better translated, which is your reasonable worship. Amazingly, present your bodies to God. Now, when you think about presenting your bodies to God, remember, I think that the biggest picture that ever comes with presenting your body to God is when Abram took his son, his only son Isaac, whom he loved, and God says, "Offer him to me. Present this body, a living sacrifice." And what did he do? He did. And he was ready to plunge the knife. And then the Lord said, "Okay, as long as I know you were ready to go through it, that's it. Stay your hand. Stay your hand." But he would say this. When they were going up the hill, and Isaac would say, "Father, I understand we got the wood, we got the fire, but where's the sacrifice?" That Abram says this, and literally in the Hebrew, it doesn't say God will provide for himself a sacrifice. It says God will provide himself. Not for himself, but God will provide himself a sacrifice. It was this beautiful picture that one day God would himself come and sacrifice himself, and that there would be no staying of the hand. There would be this sacrifice, it would be complete. And so we understand that as Abraham brought in this type, that we understand what? Present your bodies this living sacrifice. Do not be conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Allow everything to be renewed. Let the Spirit guide you. Let the Spirit lead you. And the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So as we begin to see this, I think it's so important in the reality of our union with Christ indwelling us that we begin to see what? That this is the heart of God. Now, if we go back to Romans chapter 6 and we read a little bit further, what I want to do is I want to back up to verse 5 again for just a moment. But because in verse 5 it says this, this is looking at the reality of our union with Christ, the indwelling of our life. Verse 5 says, if we've been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly, now he says this, we shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. So you understand, the same way that you are united with Christ in the crucifixion, in his death, you're also knit to him what? You're still in him when he raises again from the dead. Do you understand that it's just not I died with him, but now what? Now he lives in me. Do you understand? I'm a part of him. He's a part of me. I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. This is a whole nother amazing thing to see what God has done. So we recognize in the same way that we're united with him in his death, we're also united with him in the likeness of his resurrection. And now it begins this in verse 8. Now, if we died with Christ, which is the crucifixion, we shall also live with him. Do you understand? The union is there. All you do is you believe in him, and whatever he has done now spiritually, we get to receive in this union with him in the spiritual sense. When he dies physically, we die spiritually. When he's raised physically, we raise spiritually. He has a new life physically, we have a new life spiritually. And everything that he does in the physical sense, we benefit in the spiritual sense because we're united with him. And so it says here, now if we died with Christ, we believe that we should also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. You know what this means? We'll never die. I love this. We're going to go to sleep. We're going to wake up in heaven, but we shall never die. We'll never be separated from God again. And on this side of heaven, on that side of heaven, we're now knit with Christ. No one is able to snatch us from his hand. No one is able to snatch us from his Father's hands. We're double-fisted, held in. Do you understand? This is the great thing about the Lord. And so we see here this wonderful promise that comes through justification. We have a brand new life, and this life is now what? It's anchored in union with Christ. And so we see that in this new life, it begins with what? We died with him to sin. We now live with him in this newness of life. And it says in verse 9 of Romans 6, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more, death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. That the life that he lives to God. So you understand that no longer are we apt to just give ourselves over to sin. Why? Because we're dead to it. Do you understand? It no longer has authority over us. It no longer has dominion over us. We no longer have bondage to it. Why? Because that old man, that part of my life, it's now dead. I'm dead to it. Do you understand? That part of my life is now gone. Now I have this new life of the Spirit, the new strength of the Spirit, the new guiding of the Spirit, that no longer do I live this life of sin. Because I'm dead to it. And so we begin to see here, again, verse 10, the death that he died to sin once and for all, but the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Jesus Christ our Lord. Do not let sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey it in its lust. Do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead. Do you understand? I was dead in my sins. I was crucified with Christ. I'm now dead to that old man. Now I'm alive in Christ. Now I'm alive in the Spirit. And so we see verse 14, sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. When I died to the law. I died to the wrongs. I died to all my accomplishments. Everything is brand new now. Do you understand that that's all just wiped out? You had this old you that is now just completely gone. The new you has a new covenant. This new you has a new covenant of grace. This new you has this understanding of justification. This new you is not just you, but it's what? It's the Holy Spirit in you. You are now the temple of the Holy Spirit. As we begin to recognize that truth, now we begin to see this is my reality. I know who I am in Christ. And so I have this indwelling of Christ in me, and this is such a powerful, powerful tool. In Romans chapter 8, verses 9 through 11, it makes this declaration. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he's not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But the Spirit of him who also raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. So as we begin to see this, he says in verse 9, you're not in the flesh. You understand? You're not the old man anymore, but now you're a new spiritual man. You're a whole different creation. He says, and of course, that's if the Spirit dwells in you. If you don't recognize that I now have this new relationship of God and the Spirit, the old man has been crucified. If you don't recognize the power that you have through the Spirit, then let me tell you, just receive Christ. Ask for forgiveness. Ask Jesus come into your heart. And when you do, you will receive the Holy Spirit. You'll have power to overcome things that you never did before. And it's an amazing thing that there are things that you may be struggling with, but with God and with the Spirit, when you say simply, you know what, that's not me anymore. That's the guy that died. That was his issue. Do you understand? This isn't my issue. That was his issue. My reward is this. I have the Holy Spirit. I have justification, and I have strength to walk. He's going to guide me. He's going to lead me. He's going to strengthen me. Why? Because I'm abiding. I'm abiding in the Spirit. I'm abiding in the Word. I'm abiding in Christ. And this is what I begin to see, that it's the old man that's no longer there. I'm not in the flesh, but I'm in the Spirit. So he says this in verse 10 of Romans 8. He says, now, if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin. Do you understand? If Christ is in me, then what? I've been crucified with Christ, and this new life that I'm now living, what? Now Christ lives through me. Christ is living this life. And so I see here that the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit of life because of righteousness. Because God sees me as justified, he sees me as righteous. Now I have this new life. And the life that I have, there's now this power in this life. And so we see here, verse 11, but the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead, this new life, this resurrection life that he has, is what? It's a resurrection power and life that I have. Do you realize that you don't just have this small power, you have resurrection power. You understand? That when you have the Christ in you, you literally have not everything that he does in the spiritual sense, we receive in the physical sense, or everything he does in the physical, we receive in the spiritual. So we begin to see what? That is, he died and he then has this resurrection power, this newness of life, this power of life. We have the same thing. We have this promise if you tap into it. So the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies. He's going to give you power. He's going to give you strength. He's going to give you guidance. And the beautiful thing is this, he's always going to guide you, what? Go closer to him, go closer to him, go closer to him. This is the heart. And so I love what we begin to see now, because we recognize that we're now empowered to live out this life of Christ. And so as the Spirit comes in and fills us, the Spirit does what? The Spirit leads us in the things that are what? Christ. That's what I said, I have to send the helper. Because the helper is going to guide you. He's going to reveal all of my words. He's going to show you me. And he's going to enable you to do what? To let me live my life through you. You have the Holy Spirit as a down payment. The Spirit's going to guide you through what? The life of Christ. And so we see here, I've been crucified with Christ. All that is now dead. And so we see that what? It's no longer I who live, but Christ. It's the Spirit of Christ. It's the Spirit that gives us this ability to say, this is who my Jesus is. And so not only do I don't have to strive to do it, I'm just guided and just held and just brought through this path to just say, Jesus, I want you glorified in my life. And the old man, it doesn't have power. Sin doesn't have power. You have power. You understand? The Holy Spirit has power. It's dunamis power. It's that dynamite power. This is what I have in Christ. And so when I realize here this important thing of what is saying, now listen, I've been crucified with Christ. I'm united together with him in his death. It means that the old man is dead, all the failures, all the accomplishments, I take nothing with me. This new man, this new life that I live, it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And this third aspect is this: not only am I united with him in his crucifixion, but he is united with me in the indwelling of my life now. But then I see this. The life that I now live, and this is what it says here at the end of verse 20, says, the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. Do you understand? I don't just live it by faith. I live it by faith in what? Jesus, you've done it. That's my life. Everything is this. Jesus, you've done it. You've got this. You're covered. You've done it now. I no longer have to worry about the law and customs and everything else. I don't have to worry about my old man. It no longer has power over me in sin. All I have to do is just, I have to believe that you have given me a spirit, your spirit, that I'm the temple of the Holy Spirit. You're going to lead me in the things of Christ. As you lead me in the things of Christ, I realize this truth. The life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. As I've been crucified with him, and now it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Christ is the one who's doing this. It's his spirit, his power, his direction. And so I live by faith. And so when we recognize, you know, how do we practically allow Christ to live through us every day? It's by faith, and only by faith. You guys know the passage. I want to read it to you. But in Romans chapter 1, verse 17, powerful word, it begins to simply say this: for in the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. This is what we do. And it's no longer by sight. It's no longer by anything else. We just live by faith. That I recognize this life. And although the old man comes and says, listen, I'm going to resuscitate me. Resuscitate me. You know, just give me some CPR. Do that heart jump thing on me and breathe in life to me so that I can go on and sin. And you're dead. You're dead. I don't want you to come alive. I don't need to resuscitate you. And though the world may try to resuscitate my old man, my flesh may want to resuscitate the old man, Satan may want to resuscitate my old man, I know this. It's dead. It's dead. It's rendered inactive. It no longer has any power. It no longer has any authority. And so there's this beautiful picture as far as looking at sin being inactive, sin no longer having authority. The picture goes like this. Let's just say there was a bully. There was this bully that used to pick on you every single day. And the bully used to literally take your lunch money and say, give me your milk money, give me your lunch money. And they used to pick on you, and you used to be terrified of this bully. Because every day you were afraid, this bully is going to beat me up. This bully is going to hurt me. So all I have to do is reach in my pocket, give them my milk money, give them my lunch money, and it's over. Now, let's just say that what happened was the bully was just playing on the playground, and he fell off the monkey bars, and he fell on his neck, and he began to be paralyzed. Now, you go in the hospital and you see the bully, and all of a sudden he's in contraction and he can't do anything. He can't move his arms. He can't move his legs. And all he can do is barely breathe through his mouth. And he looks at you in that state of being absolutely paralyzed. And he says, give me your lunch money. What are you going to do? Wink at me? What are you going to do, blink your eyes? You can no longer get out of bed. You can no longer even raise your hand. You can't even point at me and say, give. You're rendered inactive. You are paralyzed. You no longer have power. Do you understand? This is what the enemy does. He's literally paralyzed, has no power, and he tells us, do this, and we're afraid. Oh, I better give you my lunch money. I can't put it in your hand because you can't lift it, but I'll put it here on the table because you can't be terrified of that anymore. He no longer has power, authority over you anymore. And this is what I love about this passage, that we begin to see here that this life that I live by faith in the Son of God, that's what I now do. Now keep in mind, I recognize that this life, I live it in the flesh. I'm actively doing this life, but I'm actually what? While I'm living this life, my mind and my spirit and my heart realize this is a walk of faith. It's a walk of looking to the Spirit, letting Him guide me, letting Him lead me. An amazing thing is this, the Spirit is going to guide me in a way that's different than you. And I love that about our relationship with God, because He doesn't want all of us to be the same. Now, there's some things He wants us all to do. He wants us all to walk towards Him. He wants us to seek Him. We understand what? The greatest way to seek Him is by going into the Word and learning it, praying, communicating with Him, you know, and fellowshipping with Him. These are the things that we do. Worship Him in spirit and truth. These are all things that we should all be doing. We all do them in different degrees. He gives different people different gifts for different ministries, and He'll do that too. And the ministries are for a certain time, for a certain, you know, amount that He gives us as far as how much faith we need to walk it. He gives us exactly what we need. But all these things, we recognize that this is the Lord, and we walk by faith and not by sight. And so we realize here that when it comes to that, while we are in our physical bodies walking this, this is what it says, the life which I now live in the flesh. I'm in my physical body and I'm walking what? I'm walking a spiritual walk. Do you understand? I'm not walking a physical walk anymore. I'm walking a spiritual walk. What I do, I desire it to be spiritual. And this walk is sustained by what? Faith. It's I'm good, God. I'm listening to you. I'm walking to you. I'm doing the things you called me to do. As I'm doing so, keep in mind, the enemy may want to destroy this work. He may want to destroy me in this work, but I know what you're doing, and I'm trusting you, Jesus, moment by moment. That's faith. I'm trusting your finished work, that if I falter, if I fail, if I stumble, justification means what? Get up and keep walking to you. This is the heart that God gives us, and I think it's so important for us to be, when we're walking in this physical life, to be looking to the Lord through His Word and through His Spirit to say, what? Give me guidance. And as you give me guidance, give me strength. These are the two things. I want you to lead me, and then I want you to empower me, because when you lead me, I'm humble because I don't have a clue what you want. Until your Spirit speaks to me. And then I will know it's your Spirit when what? When it lines up with the Word of God. There are a lot of people, and I'll be honest with you, that think they heard from the Spirit and they're wackadoodles. They have no idea because what they say the Spirit is telling me to do does not even line up with the Word of God. So if you want to confirm it, know this, that in two or more the witness, then something is established. Just because you think the Spirit is talking to you, make sure it's a Spirit of God. There's a lot of spirits out there. And the Spirit of God is going to lead you what? To align what you need to do with the Word of God. And this is how you confirm it through these two witnesses, the Spirit and the Word. Those two will be united together. And so I recognize I want Him to guide me. But then when He guides me, I want this. If you're going to lead me, you're going to provide. You're going to strengthen me. You're going to enable me. And so when God guides, He then enables. He provides. He provides the strength. He provides the direction. He provides all the things that you need. He's going to provide you people to come alongside and pray with you to enable you to just walk in there. So keep in mind that this life of faith is not a one-time event. Do you understand that? It's this present tense where it's now. That's what it is. It's a life of faith. It's a continuous experience of trusting Jesus and His leading. And so as we look to this, I think it's so important to recognize that here, within this faith that I have, what is the thing that really anchors that faith? Well, we'll take a look at this text. The life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Do you understand what my faith is based on? The greatest love that has ever been. Greater love hath any man than one lay down his life for his friends. And so we see here that my faith is rooted in love, and my faith is rooted in not by anything that I will ever do, but only by what he's done. He loved me and he gave himself for me. He has done the work. I now just simply get to rest in it and walk in it and literally begin to recognize I've been crucified with Christ. Everything in my old man is dead. Nothing holds me. Now what happens? I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. I now have this incredible thing that the Spirit who's now dwelling in me gives me the words of Christ and the life of Christ and the direction of Christ and the empowering that everything leads to him. And so what God sees is this. If I put my faith in him, then I'm with him spiritually in his death, in his resurrection, and now this life with the Spirit leads me what? Just to Christ, to glorify him. And so I recognize this life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. Why? Because he loved me. Because he gave himself for me. And everything points to what? To him. Nothing points to me. It just doesn't. And I love the fact that all these pronouns are, I have been crucified. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You understand? 8 pronouns in this, but none of it is to my glory. Everything has been done for me and for me and for me and for me. And I realize this. God, you are good. And so in this area of justification, I don't want to use this new position to go back into an old life of legalism and trusting in all the works that I've done. I don't want to use this justification to go and feed my flesh and to go into carnality. I want to use this justification to what? To walk to the Lord. I want to use this to have this new life. For I, through the law, died to the law that I might live to God. This is the heart. And so we take this passage, and this is why, for me, this passage is just, it's everything that I need as a Christian. Everything that I need as a servant of God. Everything that I need as a husband. Everything that I need as a father. It's all here. It's all here. The Spirit is going to direct me to his word to say, this is the ministry that I want you to do by faith. And when you do this ministry by faith, guess what? He's glorified. He's glorified because it's him. It's him. And all you're doing is you're trusting him. It's a brand new relationship, a brand new covenant. It's everything is brand new. Why? Because everything old is dead. Everything is dead. I've been crucified with Christ. Now this is new life, alive in Christ. And so I get to live it by faith. I get to live it through the one who loved me, the one who gave himself for me. May we grab a hold of this truth, anchor it in our lives. May this become a passage that maybe like me, this becomes a life verse for you, that you become such a part of your mind and of your heart that you begin to simply say, I get this. And I live this, and I'm free because of this. I'm empowered because of this, and I have true justification in Christ. This is how it's done, through the work of Christ, and a simply believing it by faith. May we walk in that truth, amen? Well, Father, we thank you for this word in your heart and just this incredible passage, Lord. It is life-giving, it's life-breathing. It's old man dying, and Lord, all this is because of what you've done, Jesus. And so take us and anchor us in this truth. lead us to and knit us in this incredible, powerful word, Lord, that we can be those children of yours that walk in this way. So we give ourselves to you. We give ourselves over to this passage. Knit it to our hearts. Knit it to our minds. Knit it to our souls. Knit it to our walks. We ask in Jesus' name. All the saints of God said, amen.